Well, as we work our way through Advent this year, these weeks leading up to Christmas, we're actually not following in some ways the traditional Christmas readings, the stories from the Gospel that tell of Jesus' birth and the angels and, you know, the shepherds and the kings. We're going to be reading those, obviously, reminding ourselves of the story. But what we're working on in these weeks is actually seeing how the apostles take the deep truths that are in the Christmas story and then teach them into the life of the church. So morning and evening, each of these Sundays during Advent, we're going to be just taking a point where the Apostle Paul, in his letters to the churches, actually speaks about the incarnation, talks about the Word becoming flesh, Jesus becoming a human being, dwelling among us, and then uses that to teach the church, to draw the church into worship, to give the church an example to follow, however he's doing it. So we're not just engaging with the reality of Christmas, we're seeing how the Bible teaches us how to understand that. And tonight, we're just taking, again, one sentence. We're going to be thinking about the reading from Colossians that we've just heard. But there's one sentence in Colossians where Paul draws attention to the humanity of Christ. It's Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, and he says this, In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. All the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Father, we ask that as we fix our eyes on your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the exact representation of your being, the radiance of your glory. As we've heard tonight, he is the visible image of the invisible God. He is the one in whom all the fullness of God is to be found. Oh Lord, as we fix our eyes on him tonight, we ask for your Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to teach us. We ask it in the name of Jesus, and we ask it for his glory. Amen? Amen. Right. So, something that pretty much every single human being has in common. Probably not quite. There are some people who deny this about themselves, but most people have something in common, and it is the unshakable conviction that there is a reason for it all. Not just for Christmas. You know, you get that like bumper sticker that comes out around Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. We're not just talking about the season of Christmas. All right? No, we're thinking much bigger than that tonight. That there is actually a reason for everything. I mean everything. There is a reason for it. There's a purpose for it. It has significance. Space and time. Life and death, health, sickness, sorrow, joy, adversity, hope, heroism, that it matters. It all matters. And that in the midst of it all, I matter. I matter. Yeah, everything has meaning, and that in the context of that, actually, I have meaning. There's a purpose to everything, which means that in the context of everything, I have purpose. I have significance. I have meaning. There is a reason why I am here. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's kind of strange that we think that. You know, that we tenaciously hold on to this idea that we matter in the face of sometimes overwhelming evidence to the contrary. I mean, just, you know, think about the sheer enormity of space, of the world, creation, the physical universe. I mean, it is, I can't even think of a word. It's colossal. And, you know, we are one little, you know, human-shaped, human-sized piece of dust on actually a really quite small planet that orbits its way around a fairly mediocre star tucked away in the corner of a somewhat less than average sized galaxy in a backwater sort of celestial neighborhood in the midst of a vast expanding universe which has billions of galaxies and stars in it. And we think we matter? Like, on the scale of things, we don't even register. But we hold on to this deep sense that, no, I do matter. I have significance. And we don't even have to go to those kind of cosmic proportions. I mean, just the way other people treat us sometimes leaves us feeling insignificant. And that maybe we don't matter. That we're sort of surplus to requirement. Am I the only person who periodically wonders? This is where everybody goes, yeah, you are. You're weird. But am I the only person who kind of periodically wonders, if I wasn't here, would anyone notice? Would it matter? You know, or think, you know, gosh, when I die, I wonder how long it will be before there is nobody who remembers me. Nobody who knows I existed, I lived. You know, these sort of existential crisis, angst-ridden moments that we all go through. You know, we're constantly threatened by the sense of our insignificance, that we don't matter, that there is no reason for us. And yet, deep down inside, we cling to the conviction, in spite of a world that conspires to leave me feeling insignificant, I cling to the conviction that I am significant. There is meaning. There is purpose. There is a reason. I matter. And the incredible thing that the Bible teaches is that you're right. There is meaning. And incredibly, it is a baby lying in a manger that is the key to unlocking that meaning. I mean, think about some of the claims that we've just heard read to us from the book of Colossians. That in this baby, in this baby, in bodily form, is the fullness of God. And that all things were created by Him. All things are created for Him. In Him, all things hold together. Right? The fullness of all of creation and the fullness of all the Creator are found in a baby lying in a manger? That in Jesus we find the truth about everything, the meaning for everything? The fullness of God, the fullness of creation, all found in bodily form in this one baby in a manger? Everything. All the fullness. All things, everything. You don't need to go anywhere else to find supplementary information or to complete the picture. All right, understand this. At the heart of our faith, we believe all things, everything is in this child in bodily form. You want to know who God is? Look at Jesus. You want to know what God says, how He thinks? Listen to Jesus. You want to know what God delights in, what He enjoys, or what makes Him sad or angry? Watch Jesus. You want to know how God treats people, how God treats the rich and the powerful, how God treats the self-made, the I don't need religion types, those who are convinced of their invincibility? You want to know how God relates to the broken and to the despairing? To the people who feel like, no matter what I do, it's never good enough? To the people whose dreams lie shattered around them, whose hopes
have been broken? You want to know what God has to say to people like that? Listen to Jesus. In Jesus is everything that can be said about God in bodily form. He is the visible image of the invisible God. Now, we can say things like this and we can believe things like this, but do not underestimate how combative and how confrontational it is to believe this in our world. We live in a world that is filled with philosophies and spiritualities and religions, all of which come to us relentlessly, telling us that they can make sense of the world. They can make sense of God. They can make sense of life and death. They can explain the meaning and the significance of this world. And we need to recognize that however ancient those religions or philosophies might be, no matter how sophisticated they are, if they are not founded on Jesus, shaped by Jesus, defined by Jesus, rooted in Jesus, then whatever contribution they may make to the world, they cannot tell us who God is. They cannot tell us the significance, the meaning, the purpose, the reason for life and death. Because all that is found in Jesus, and everything needs to be brought to the bar of Jesus and tested against that. And it's not just the massive kind of macro scale thing. This comes right down to the very personal spiritualities and religions that people have. It's amazing to me how many people, you know, they don't think of themselves as religious at all, and yet everyone has a kind of a working theory about who God is. You know, they may never have sat down and worked it out, but as they've gone through life, they've seen a film, or they've read a book, or they've listened to a lecture, or they heard somebody say something, and they've just kind of picked up along the road all these ideas about the world, and about God, and about, you know, what's going on, and why it all makes sense and fits together the way it does. And, you know, like I said, it's never been thought through, but everybody has this working theory. And when we say the fullness of God dwells in Christ in bodily form, again, what we are saying is that everyone's idea of God needs to be brought to the bar of Jesus and tested against that. All our ideas about this world and what's the meaning and the purpose and the significance of this world and our place in it needs to be brought to the bar of Jesus and tested there. Because all things are in Him. All things are shaped by His will. All things are shaped by His wisdom. There's nothing exists that does exist. Nothing develops that does develop. Nothing happens that does happen apart from Jesus. In Him, all things hold together. Nothing lives or moves or has its being except in Him and by His will. Everything is upheld and governed by Him. He is the hinge around which everything turns. He is the point at which all lines of history converge. He is the center of all things, and He is the circumference of all things. He is the reason for all things. He is the meaning and the significance and the purpose for all things. He is the rhyme and reason and rationale. It is because of Him that anything matters. It is because of Him that I matter, that you matter. It is Christ who gives significance and purpose to His world, to us, to who we are, to the decisions that we make. And at Christmas, we have a unique opportunity for ourselves, but also for others, to invite people to confront this extraordinary reality that in Christ, all the fullness of God dwells in bodily form. That all things hold together in Him. But as we invite people to confront that and to be confronted by it, do not underestimate how threatening that baby can be. How traumatic it can be to ask people to look at that baby. Because if there is one thought that is more terrifying than the fact that there might be no purpose, no significance, no meaning to this world, if there's one thought that is more frightening than that, it is that there is purpose, there is significance, there is meaning, but that I'm not a part of it. I'm not connected to it. That somehow I am alienated from it, dislocated from it. Which is why Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 is so important. That through Christ, through this one in whom all the fullness of God dwells in bodily form, that through Him, God is at work to reconcile to Himself all things by making peace through His blood on the cross. The beauty of what we celebrate at Christmas, God becoming a human being, the Word becoming flesh, is that in doing this, Jesus doesn't just come to show us who He is. He doesn't just come to help us understand the significance, the meaning, the purpose of creation. He comes to reconcile us to that purpose, to that significance, to make us a part of it. But even when that hope is held out, it can be incredibly traumatic for people to confront it. Incredibly traumatic. Do not underestimate how threatening that baby in a manger really is. And people, many, many thousands of people this year will celebrate Christmas. And they will enjoy it. You know, they'll enjoy the atmosphere, they'll enjoy the lights, they'll enjoy the spirituality, they'll enjoy the traditions, they'll enjoy family and bad TV and good food, and they'll enjoy it all, and they'll throw themselves into it. They might even come to church and sing a few carols. But the one thing they will not do is look at the baby in the manger. Because when you look at that baby, you look at God. And when you have looked at God, that must change the way you look at everything. But even knowing how threatening and traumatic this is, it's our job. It's our mission. It's the reason we're here this Christmas in Ipswich. We are here to bring people to the manger. We are here to bring people to look at Jesus and to see, really see the one in whom the fullness of God dwells in bodily form. Now, here at St. Andrew's and at St. John's, we are working hard to give ourselves all kinds of tools that can help us do that. There are a number of the services that we'll be holding over these next few weeks that are particularly focused on helping people who are not Christians to come and see this baby. These postcards that you've seen around the church, okay? These are not for you. These are not for you to have a little list of all the services that are going on in the churches over the next few weeks. The only services listed on these cards are the services that are specifically geared towards people who need to see Jesus in the manger. Our evangelistic services, our guest services. These are for you to take away and to use as invitations to encourage other people, to bring other people to these services. After Christmas, we'll be running a puzzling questions course. And that's there for you to bring people to explore with you and with others some of these questions of meaning and significance and purpose, asking why it matters and why it is that this baby in a manger unlocks that meaning and significance and purpose so fully. There's something else that we have begun to develop this year, another tool that helps us show people Jesus.
This is our social media Christmas campaign called 12 Talks. Now, there's been bits and bobs around the place about this, but I just want to take 5 minutes this evening just to give you a bit more comprehensive information about it and how we want to try and use it as an effective outreach within the life of the church. So I'm going to answer three questions. The first is, what is it? Who is it for? And how can we as a church take ownership of it and use it effectively? So first off, what is it? Well, 12 Talks kind of gives the game away. The fact you've just watched a video as well is a clue. So these are 12 short evangelistic videos. They're about 2 to 4 minutes long, and they talk about lots of different aspects of life, of the human experience, and indeed the Christian faith. You know, this is a time of year where lots of people outside of the church are looking to the church to try and answer questions about what Christmas is and what it really means. But I think this is an opportunity for us to almost turn that on its head and say, actually, this is an opportunity to see what Christ has to say about life, what Christ has to say about meaning, about significance, about purpose, and those things that we all really crave. So it's 12 videos. These are going to be released from the 1st of December. Every 2 days, they're going to be released throughout the month. A bit more about that. So the who's it for? Well, obviously, it's an evangelistic outreach project. So it is seeking to reach those that don't yet know the love of God, that don't yet have that relationship with Christ. But secondly, I want to say that actually it is for us as the church. You know, I'm very aware. I don't want this to be something where, you know, one of our evangelists has gone off and made this project, and we're the church over here, and we're doing a few things too. We want to pull that together and meet in the middle and actually try and use this project. We don't launch this until Thursday, but already we've seen some really cool stuff happening with it. I had a couple of people come up to me last week and say, you know, we saw one of the videos at St. Andrew's 3 weeks ago. Could we use this in schools? Could we show this to some of the kids in our class? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, please don't ask me. Just go and do it. That's great. A couple more people came up and said, hey, you know, I've got friends I'd like to show this to. You know, they've asked questions about this. Again, brilliant. This kind of brings us on to that third question. How, as a church, are we going to use it? The obvious point is, this is a social media campaign, and so if you are on Facebook, if you're on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, there's a new one every single day, isn't there? So if you're on any of those, please feel free to share them, to use them, to comment, like, subscribe, whatever else you want to do. Please feel free to do that. But as well, the question exists, what if we're not on social media? That's fine as well. There's no escape for you guys. You haven't got a ready-made excuse. These are going to be coming out via the church email address. Every 2 days they're going to be coming into your inbox if you receive the church newsletter. So you've got that link ready made. You've got it on your home computer. You know, so you don't need to be on social media to engage with this. You know, if you've got friends coming around for coffee and you can say, hey, do you know what? Someone at our church made this video. Can I show it to you? What do you think? Chances are they'll say the guy's voice is so annoying. I wish don't like, that's fine. If it goes to a conversation about Christ, I'm fine with that. That's okay. Okay. So the final thing I want to say is I found this beautiful C.S. Lewis quote, which I think really summarizes this incredibly well. He says, I believe Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. He says, I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. And that's really what these videos are trying to do. You know, we're not trying to say, hey, look, Christianity is over here. It's kind of, you know, it's this cool thing. If you want to hear about God, come over here and engage with it. We're not saying, hey, look, Christianity is here and he's with me whenever I need it. But if I'm embarrassed, I'll just put him in my pocket. No, we're trying to say, actually, look, Christianity is so much bigger than that. It's so much more beautiful than that. And actually, it's by that relationship through Jesus. Sorry, that relationship with Jesus that you're able to see everything else and see it with light and life, color, contrast, and fullness. And it is through that relationship that we're able to see things that were previously hidden.